called evangelism, which has not done, we have not done it at least for a while that I can remember of. To do the evangelism, people use all kinds of methods and foundations and copy others. In most cases it may be okay, but the real study how to evangelize, some of the foundations of it, we can't even copy Paul. Paul did a very great job, but our basic example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So this week and next week, we will be looking at a lot of scriptures, primarily reading scriptures. I'm not going to do a lot of explanation because we won't finish in 2 weeks. I only have to this Sunday and next Sunday. So we will go very quickly. I have nearly 85 slides to go through, so we'll try to finish about half of them today, and we'll come back and pick up next week. So it is primarily a study on how to share your faith in simplicity, effectively, and biblically, and our example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, let me ask you this question, every one of you to think for a moment now. Have you ever in your life, ever in your Christian life, whenever you are saved, since then until today, have you ever had an opportunity to lead someone to Christ? Don't raise your hands, but I want you to think about it. And I'm sure maybe at least some here say, no, I haven't had that opportunity. And maybe some here that may say, I had one. I had five. I had multiple people whom I helped to come to know Christ. That question I want to throw it at each one of us at the very beginning stage. That's someone spending time to lead a person in prayer to accept Christ. Now the next question. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? They did not believe it, they did not, you know, pay any attention, they rejected what you said. But did you share the gospel with someone? If you did, when was the last time? Now, these 2 weeks we will be looking at some of the foundations of the gospel itself, or how to share it, what is involved in it. So we'll look at some of those things. What is the gospel and how would you present it? In the four gospels, the Lord Jesus used at least, if you look hard enough, you may find more, but I believe at least 20 different methods to reach different categories of people. He did not use the same method from place to place, people group to people group, individual to individual. He changed the method into at least 20 different times. But the message was the same. This is one of the foundations that I have, you know, told many people in my travels and teaching opportunities. Our message cannot be changed, but the method can be changed. The method has to be changed from time to time. Changing the method in itself may not produce any result, but in any case, whatever we do, the Lord Jesus Christ never changed the message, but he used different methods. What works in Africa may not work in Dallas. What works in Dallas may not work in America or in other parts of this country or any other parts of the world. But in any case, whatever method of presenting the gospel that you and I use, we should never ever change the message. That is true for not only for the gospel, it is also for the church, the other foundational truth that you and I believe and practice. Our Lord set an example that he did change it. So it is good for us. It is important to maintain a certain perspective in evangelism. Coming down to evangelism alone, if you don't have a good perspective of the gospel, then you will lose heart with a wrong perspective. Problem with many of us who are not sharing the gospel, we do have a different perspective about the gospel itself. how to present it or what is the importance of it. Hopefully we will challenge ourselves, myself first, and challenge ourselves in the next 2 weeks. In this study, we want to look at the right perspective from the life of Jesus Christ regarding evangelism. Because once you learn from the Lord himself, that will stick with us. We all have certain wrong ideas in our mind, therefore we don't take time to present the gospel to someone. So hopefully some of us will change, or at least I want to change. So there are four fundamentals about in these 2 weeks we are going to look at. The first two probably we'll look at today, and the last two maybe next week. Preparation for evangelism, proclamation in evangelism, presentation of evangelism, and propagation of evangelism. The last two we will look at, Lord willing, next week. Hopefully we can finish the first two. Now, in the preparation part, there are three major aspects for preparation for evangelism. Whether it is a personal evangelism that you share with somebody, with your friend or family or neighbor, or you are preaching to a group or in a large convention, wherever that is, there are three fundamentals of preparation for gospel or evangelism. Number one is power of prayer. We are going to go look at the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his own examples. We will go through in a little more detail on this. Number one is the preparation is the power of prayer. Without that, don't expect any result. You can still preach, but the result will be either limited or no nothing at all. Number two is we have to have a very basic knowledge of God's word. If somebody asks you, you don't need to know the theology of everything that we learn, but at least the very basics of the knowledge of the word of God to someone to whom you share the gospel, the very basic knowledge of the scripture. Again, we will go back to the Lord as an example. And number three is the depending on the Holy Spirit. Those are the three areas we will look, preparation for evangelism. Now, power of prayer. Since it is God who saves the unbeliever and uses the believer to give out the gospel, it should be easy to see that prayer would play an important role in evangelism. To understand the importance of prayer in evangelism, you have to know who is saving the people. You and I will never save a person. The great commandment in Matthew 28 that we read, Lord did not ask us to go in the old world and save people. No. In my Bible it says, go and preach. Go teach. Now I am forgetting the name of that missionary who went to China. Hudson Taylor. I was told, at least in his book, I have a book in my home, I read a part of it, but not some years ago. He labored for many years, preached the gospel, probably did everything we are going to look at these two weeks, but no result. But he did what the Lord told him to do. Go and present the gospel and preach. And don't expect 500 people to come to the friend as Billy Graham Crusade does. But our expectation sometimes, our perspective about giving the gospel, that we want a person to save him instantly. So, my point is that it is God who saves people. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people, and it is his job. For us is to simply to go and tell. But if it is his job, power becomes the most important thing. We must pray to God who, when you preach or give out the gospel, share your testimony, whatever you do, you must start with prayer. Now, power of prayer. These are verses I have already copied from the scriptures as it is, so we won't take time to read from the book itself, but it is exactly copied from the scriptures. Mark 1, 35 to 39, this is the example of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daytime. What time that was? Come on, you can't talk to me. Night. A long time, it says. We don't know how long ago before. Let's say 6 o'clock is the sunrise. So he probably woke up like 4 in the morning. Just an assumption. But early in the morning he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Who? The apostles? No. The Lord himself went out and prayed early morning. The time is not that critical. You may not have to get, I'm not suggesting that you should wake up at 4 a.m. But the principle of praying is what I am trying to insist. Then Simon and those who were with him searched for him. The evangelist, the disciples were looking for him, and they went to him and said, "We searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go to the next towns.'" He was getting ready to go to the next towns, number of different towns, to go and preach the gospel. But the first thing he did is not to go and preach, but early morning get up and pray by himself. The disciples did not understand what was going on, but probably at the time the way they were talking to him. But before he went from town to town, he went to prayer. If you look at Luke chapter 5 verse 16, we read, "So he himself," again the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "often," this is not a one time practice, "very often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Throughout his 3.5 years of ministry, it doesn't say how many times, very often it says. So it's possible every day, or it's possible whenever he found time, or even he was before going to preach, he always went out and prayed. Now we are not talking about the disciples here. We are not talking any human being. It is the Lord himself who is praying before he start ministering. That principle is not really limited to gospel alone, but any ministry that we do, any ministry we do for the Lord, it should be backed with prayer. Otherwise it will be just simply a sounding symbol, as Paul says. Now coming to the disciples, now the Lord's example, we saw he did multiple times. We saw the first time in that passage. Let's go to the disciples. They learned from him, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, and all the 11 disciples are named there. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now listen. And the women, with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It was not simply limited to the disciples. The sisters were there. Lord's mother was there. His two other brothers were there. What were they doing? They were praying. Why are they praying? Because Lord told them in Matthew 28, that as we read, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." That is the commandment. And the Lord is risen now. The risen Lord is there. His power is available. He said, "Wait until the Holy Spirit comes." But meanwhile, they chose to go and find a place together, sat in the upper room, and they prayed. I didn't see particularly any commandment for them to go to the upper room. But they knew what need to be done. I hope I am trying to convey the importance of prayer in evangelism, but primarily for any ministry. But our subject is evangelism. They were in one accord in prayer. Very serious prayer meeting that's taking place. Well, coming to the epistles, the importance doesn't change anything. Colossians 4:22-4 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer." Not occasionally, not once in a while, but earnestly continue in prayer. The command by the Luke's writing in Acts chapter 2 is that they continued steadfastly in four things. That includes prayer. The prayer also was not occasional. Prayer was also very regular, and they continued in it. Steadfastly, it says there. Being vigilant in it with the thanksgiving. It is one thing to have a prayer and whenever we feel like it, but to continuously being vigilant in prayer. Let me step outside of the gospel, gospel for a moment. Let me ask you this question personally. I have asked myself when I was preparing. How is your prayer life? Is it in the morning, wake up routinely, sing a song, read two verses and pray, keep going, come back in the night, maybe do the repeat the same, the routine is done. Is that your prayer life and my life, prayer life? That is not what the scripture is talking about. The earnestly praying, Paul says, the reference is not with me at the moment, but Paul says, all the time, when you are driving, when you are before entering into workplace, while you are working, a prayer from the heart going up. In your classrooms, when you are studying, a prayer going up. A continuous, constant prayer life that is necessary in our life, that is very sure about the gospel. Praying also for us. For what purpose we pray? He says, that God would open to us a door for the word. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you prayed or I prayed, Lord, please open a door that I can share the gospel. If I am driving, if I am at the market, whatever I am doing, Lord, please open the door that I may give your word. To speak to the mystery of Christ, and he's referring to the gospel there, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So prayer is very, very key for the gospel. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for fellow believers. No, for all men. That includes unsaved, saved, as well as everyone. Our responsibility and our requirement for prayer is not simply limited to everybody within the church, which is good. That's what we talked last week. Please continue to do it. But our prayer should expand beyond that boundary. And Paul says, praying for all men. Well, some other scriptures even instruct us about the rulers of the nation, and it goes into much more detail of our prayer. So, questioning ourselves, asking question to ourselves, where is my prayer life? Praying for all men. This principle, however, should not be used as an excuse for not doing actual evangelism. That is the other extreme. Yeah, prayer is very important. Therefore, what I am going to do is I am going to stay home and pray all day long, all week, all year, all my life. I am going to pray for the salvation of souls, but not doing the actual evangelism. That is not what the Lord did. That is not what the disciples did. That is not what the scripture does. Yes, prayer is critical. That is the foundation. That is the first thing you do. And then you do the work. This principle, however, should not be used as an excuse. Okay, how have you noticed that how much, this is a quotation from A.W. Tozer. Have you noticed how much praying for revival has been going on lately? Well, at least in these days, that I don't hear much. But there was a time when everybody was praying for revival, revival, revival. And how little revival has taken place. I believe the problem is, this is Brother Tozer talking again, is that we have been trying to substitute praying for obeying. Yes, we must pray. We must also obey and do the work. In essence, when we pray for revival and not do the work for revival, we are saying the following things. Okay. I don't know how many of you are in this category that I will stay home and pray. I will pray for evangelism. I will pray for evangelists in North India, in China, in Africa, in the Dallas area who are preaching. I will pray for them. I pray for salvation of souls. Please do. Don't stop. But that does not stop you and me to do the work. So indirectly we are saying the following when you do that. Number one, Lord, I know you have commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but we will stay here and pray. That's what we are telling the Lord. We know that you have chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost, 1 Corinthians 12:1. But we will stay here and pray. We know that the Bible tells us, how will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:15, but we will stay here and pray. Well, it is one more. It is for sure easier to talk to God. This is a quote from Brother Ray Comfort, not Ray Mallory. It is for sure easier to talk to God about people, we can do anytime, anywhere, than to talk to people about God. There's a big difference. I loved that quotation, that what he said. Now, number two is the knowledge about the God's word. Is this on? No, it's not. I don't know why the sound is. Anyway, this is what the Lord's knowledge about God's word. This is Him, the Lord Himself. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the universe. But He is sitting in the midst of the teachers in verse 46 of Luke 22. Luke 2. He was listening to the teachers. He was asking teachers questions. He was about His Father's business, He said. He increased in wisdom as He grew up. He increased in stature. He increased in favor with God and men. In essence, what that says is, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was taking the word of God's word very seriously before He went out into the villages. Yes, He prayed first. He made sure He knows God's word as it is. It is knowledge of the Almighty God. As a man here on this earth, He is learning and preparing Himself the very foundations of the scripture, knowledge of the scripture. Well, number three is the dependence on the Holy Spirit. John 16 verse 5 says, and when He has come, He will convict. Now this is the Holy Spirit. We know this verse very well. I am sure we all probably by hearted it at some point. When He has come, He, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world of three things. Number one, sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do His work. You and I are supposed to just do our work, what we are given to do. If many people's problem is that we are trying to convince people of their sin. Come on, you are a sinner. You just try to somehow force that down the throat to tell them they are sinners. None of my business, I should say. Yes, we should talk about sin, but the conviction of sin happens by the Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget. And He also convicts people of righteousness, which means the holiness of God and the coming judgment. We should include all these three subjects in our communication, but don't expect that you are trying to convince these people about these three things. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that becomes more important about prayer, right? We are going in a back to loop again. Prayer becomes more important there. The Holy Spirit, Lord, please, I'm going to talk to this person. I want you to convict him of his sin. I'm going to talk about him, sin to him. I'm going to talk to him about righteousness and the coming judgment. I'm going to talk about the salvation free available to him. Please, Lord, prepare his heart and convict him. The things that you promised that he will do, that should be our prayer before we just start talking to before somebody. Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. Why? Because they do not believe in Jesus, shows the depravity of man. Righteousness, because Jesus is with the Father, shows the holiness of Jesus. And He convicts of the judgment, because Satan, the ruler of this world, is judged. Talks about the judgment of Satan and his children in Ephesians chapter 2. So these are biblical scriptures that you and I should be aware of to pray to the Holy Spirit and prepare our hearts before we share the gospel. Well, about 5-7 minutes left. This is number two. This is preparation. It's only just a highlight, an overview of the preparation. There's much more involved in it. Proclamation of in evangelism. How do we proclaim? Again, we are going to go back to the Lord. How did He do it? In this section, we will look at the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? If you know the message of the gospel, the proclamation becomes easy. By looking at the true biblical message, we will get an understanding of the message Jesus spoke to draw men to himself. What is it that differently that the Lord did, that people were just pushing and shoving and trying to listen to him? There has to be some secret. They all still thinking, most of the crowd that are there, they are not even recognizing as the Lord of the or Messiah or God. They are simply still looking at him as a man, but they are still pushing and shoving to listen to him. What is the problem? Why him and not you and me? You know, somebody said in Acts chapter 2, there is Peter spoke one message, 3,000 people were saved. Today people give 3,000 messages and get one saved. What's the difference? Let's look at what the Lord did. The biblical message has the very soul of power to it. In Matthew 13, 1-23, we know, biblical gospel message and a modern, we'll look at two different aspects, if time permitting. The biblical message and a modern gospel. I hope you know what I'm talking about. We'll come to that in a minute. The most important thing that you can look on the biblical message, that we can look is the parable of the sower. If you know that, I'm sure you heard and studied or even listened to or even preached about the parable. But that is the most important passage that we can look at about the actual message, biblical message. We know the story very well, so we won't take time to read. There are three instances that that same parable is given. The power is the seed. That is the one word I want to pick out of that parable. The sower went out and saw, it fell in different grounds. We know the story. Some did not produce anything. Some did not started growing and it died. Some produced a little bit of 30, 60 and 100 fold. But I want you to concentrate on the seed. The word of God has always been capable of influencing people, accomplishing intended purpose. It is the seed that is the most important thing in that lesson, in that parable. Yes, other things are there, but if you ignore the seed, then the whole thing is a myth, a story. But the seed is the power in producing results. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10-11, Isaiah says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and I shall prosper, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." I want you to be very encouraged on one thing, which this encouraged me myself. When you give out the gospel, when you give out the word of God to someone, whatever you do, if it is coming from the true message of the message that is coming out of the scriptures, it will never return void. Will I see the result? Probably not. Maybe you do. But the Lord says, it shall not return to me void if it is coming from the God's word, the way it is given, but it shall accomplish what I please, what He pleases, not what we please. What I please is, if I give gospel to this brother here, I want him to believe and save, get saved immediately. That's my desire. But the Lord says, what I please will do in his life. But it shall prosper in the thing for which, again, I sent, says the Lord. So the Lord is the core of every gospel message. The Lord should be the core of every message. It is Him, for Him, by Him, all for Him. And if you take Him out of it and think that you can do it, you are mistaken. Our perspective about the gospel is really poor and wrong. Hebrews says, chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful." These are some very powerful verses. I wish we could dwell on it a little longer. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen carefully, believers. I'm stepping out of the evangelism now. The word of God is powerful, is sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts of my heart and yours. As you are sitting there and looking at me, as if you are listening, the Lord is looking at your heart, and He knows the intent of your heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him who we must give account. Well, that's in a, that last statement is a message by itself. Giving account. It is coming. We sang the song. A brother said that we are waiting to see the Lord. And it's coming. But are you ready? I leave that to you. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Why is Paul not ashamed? Because he somehow wanted to get this job done and go back home? Get it over with? No, that's not the reason he is saying. He says, "For it is the power of God for salvation." The gospel is the power of God for salvation. For everyone who believes, doesn't matter who it is. The one on the street, the one in the mansion, for everyone, it is the power of God. Don't take the gospel very lightly. That is what changed Paul and said, "I am not ashamed because of that. You and I are ashamed because we don't take it as a power of God. We think it's just another message that is given to us. For the Jew first and also to the Greek." Parable of the sower again. If people are going to be truly converted, it will not be through smooth speeches or fancy presentations, but through the life-changing truth of the gospel. Very powerful statement. I'm going to read and keep going. My time is almost up. I think that clock, I like that clock. It will give me 2 more minutes. True conversion will occur only if we plant the proper seed. You cannot plant the wrong seed and expect the right produce. Maybe we don't get the desired result because we don't sow the right seed. The result depends on the type of soil. We know that. I'm going to skip that. We'll come back to maybe the Lord willing next week. Another principle taught here is the concerning of our goals in that same story. Goals should center on how many are being taught, but not how many are being converted. Again, the example of the brother, the missionary in China. How many people have you given the gospel? Don't worry about conversion. Nobody got saved. That's fine. But how many people have you given the gospel? Very few people accepted the message of Jesus Himself. So don't get discouraged. That was true for our Savior. Then it will be true for us. John 6:66. Look at the biblical gospel message. Example, on the road to Emmaus, the Lord was talking to 2 disciples. What did He use? Some story? Come on, tell me. What did He use? It says there, "From that the beginning of Moses, all the prophets He expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself." He used the word of God to talk to the 2 disciples who are wandering away. It is the power. God's word has the power. What did Jesus Christ use to explain things concerning Himself? The law that was available. Moses and the prophets. Well, my time is up. I'm going to stop here. Otherwise, some of you will walk out of here. So Lord willing, we'll come back this one and hopefully we'll finish. There is the last 2 lessons are in one day will be a little more important. We should go through that, Lord willing, next week. Let's look to the Lord. Our Father, we thank You this morning for allowing us to come together this morning to worship our Savior and to listen to God's word. Thank You, Lord, that we may examine our hearts and minds, individuals, families, as an assembly, that we have not lost our first love. If the first love is still present, perhaps we will also be engaged in giving out the gospel. If we failed in our presenting the gospel to others, Lord, we pray that we may look in our own lives. Maybe we lost our love. Talk to me and talk to every one of us. We commit us to the throne of grace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.